Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Answers from the Lab, where we share Mayo Clinic knowledge and advancements on the state of testing and science from laboratory leaders and the people who are making it happen behind the scenes. I'm Dr. Bobby Pritt, Chair of the Division of Clinical Microbiology at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And with me today is Dr. Bill Maurice, the President and CEO of Mayo Clinic Laboratories. Hi, Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Back here for another week. We have lots of things to talk about, like always. And there are some really important updates that I thought we should cover.
Yeah, hot off the press, as they say.
I'll go ahead and say in the news, many of you may have already heard this, the FDA's laboratory developed test final rulemaking is now before the White House's Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. And this is usually the last step before the FDA publishes their final rule. So this whole question of FDA oversight of LDTs is really moving quickly.
Yeah, it is. It is important news. It's important to know what it means and what it doesn't mean. And so, I mean, it has the significance of, number one, that the FDA has actually written the final rule,
right?
Which is no mean feat in and of itself. I mean, I think there was a lot of different people working on that. Obviously, it's a legal document, so they have to look at device regulations, which are going to be applied here, and look at the comments and determine, actually, how much leeway they think they have legally to do some of the things that were in the comments. I mean, there's some things that just don't exist in device regulation, which they can't do. My understanding is a center of excellence is one of those things, you know, where your, or technical certification, which is something we talked about, valid, where a lab might get certified as technically competent in next generation sequencing or mass spec. I mean, that those things don't exist under device regs. So we know that they won't, but there's still a lot that we don't know exactly what's in the final rule, but they have written it. That's number one. And you're right. This is my understanding also, that this is really the last procedural step before actually publishing the final rule. And of course, remembering that publishing the final rule means that that rule is now the law of the land.
Right. Yeah. So let's just look back a little. It was just 5 months ago. It was late September 2023 when the FDA released their proposed rule. And then many academic medical centers, laboratories, reference laboratories, Mayo Clinic laboratories, for example, Mayo Clinic posted comments. So that was the open comment period, and a lot of comments were received. I got to see the breakdown. There were many pro and many con against the rulemaking. And so the FDA presumably read all of those comments. And then, like you said, have now written the rule, hopefully taking into account the comments that they did receive.
Yeah, I think we'll know when we see it how far they went. And this is an extraordinarily fast timeline. I mean, I've been engaged in this issue for several years. For something to move this quickly means that it was a top priority of FDA, which Commissioner Califf actually stated publicly that this was one of the top priorities of FDA. And looking back also is not surprising, because Commissioner Califf in his prior tenure was working on this rule. And then, of course, there was a change in administration. And when it went from the Obama administration to the Trump administration, new Commissioner Gottlieb was put in place, and all that work was shelved, essentially, right? So there's certainly a desire to get this done prior to the presidential election cycle kicking in. I think that's why we're seeing such tight timelines.
And I think we're anticipating a final publication in April of 2024, if everything goes forward. So it will be very interesting times, because here we are right in the very beginning of March. So in about 1 month, maybe a month and a half, we will be perhaps seeing a final rule.
That's right. At some point, it was put in the register that they were anticipating publishing in April of 24, to your point. And they're certainly on the timeline to do that. So yeah, but we don't know. I mean, that's one of the unknowns here still, is things can go on. The White House review can be rapid or can go on for several months. So we still don't have great surety as to when this is going to be published. And again, the thought is, if it gets too close to the election cycle, the White House is going to be reticent to issue any rules, obviously, because they don't want a lot of controversy going into an election. So that is the White House that has control at this point. It's an office of the White House. So those are all things we are yet to know.
Yeah. So we will keep everyone informed as we hear it.
But yeah,
Bill, what else do we have as far as important rulings and things that are under consideration?
Well, one thing I'll say before we move on is, We can't really react to the because we don't know what's
Yeah,
in the
we
rule
can't.
yet. I've heard of labs taking down their lab developed tests and things, and it's probably
Premature.
early for that. Premature. It is important for people to stay engaged, obviously, and watch what happens as this rolls out. The other thing that's out there, it hasn't been as prominent in the public discourse just because there's so much around FDA, but that is SALSA, the Saving Access to Laboratory Services Act, which is basically to prevent the cuts which are mandated by the Protection to Access to Medicare Act, or PAMA, right? To remind people, we've had several one-year delays. We were due a few years back, I think right around 2020, to have a next round of data submission where labs had to submit their payment data to CMS, and then they would adjust the rates based on the payment. To anticipate that could be anywhere from a 5 to 10% cut in laboratory reimbursement of commonly performed tests. So it's a big deal. It's a lot of work for labs to comply. The way the law was actually enacted really prevented a lot of hospital laboratories from submitting their data, which artificially kind of lowers the reimbursements that they're seeing in the data set. That was actually challenged by ACLA, and they actually won, but it still doesn't change the reality of it. So Saving Access to Laboratory Services Act, which would really be a new methodology in place in response to some of those challenges in the court, and it would be a much more sustainable. The hard part with this one, FDA is still very controversial, or not controversial, but there's a lot of differences of opinions, as you said,
Yes.
reflected in the comment. Most everybody you talk to in Washington, D.C. is like, yeah, we really should do something about PAMA. And it also seems like a reasonable alternative. However, it's going to cost the government money. And so getting that passed becomes a real challenge because the government's looking to cut spending, not increase it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting contrast, isn't it? You have one thing, FDA proposed oversight of LDTs, which there's a lot of pros and cons and a lot of people for and against it. But then you have something like SALSA that people think is a good idea, but it is going to be very expensive.
Yes, it is. I mean, in the grand scheme, it is $2 billion, a lot of money. When you consider about how much, oh, and that's over several years, when you think about how much the government just spends on healthcare, right? And making
Right.
sure that the tests are available and understanding the importance of it's less than 5% of the total spend, I think, or 10. So it's a low number. Here's where advocacy becomes really important. You know, there's a lot of times I think people feel, you know, what difference can I make? But this is one we know that when Congress people will listen, and because it just requires, in this case, people in Congress hearing from their constituents and saying that this is important. So that kind of keeps it top of mind. And so it gives it a chance to pass. This is an important one for our listeners to really get engaged in. There's websites out there, StopLobCuts now, I think, is one of them. This has a lot of good information, including ways to petition or send an email to your representative in Congress. And if you have a good connection with a representative from Congress and you invite them to your clinical lab. I mean, we've done that with Senator Klobuchar, for instance, and others. And so, yeah, this is one where activism and engagement becomes really important.
Really important. Absolutely. Yeah, I know ACLA's done a lot in this realm. CAP has done, other professional organizations. So check out their websites. There's a lot of different call to actions. And I would say that if you can put it in your own words, that's best. Although there are also just form letters that you can just click a button and send something off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, your own words is always better, especially if you have an example where getting access to a test has been really important for your healthcare. I mean, those personal stories actually really do resonate. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's all the stuff that's out there. We didn't even talk about Black Cat and all that kind of ransomware stuff that happened.
Oh,
But
yeah.
you know, it's a crazy world out there.
It is a crazy world. So I guess maybe we could just kind of distill it down to some like call to actions. Advocacy would probably be the one thing. Don't panic about the LDTs yet, but plan ahead. I would say in my lab, we're taking stock of what we do in terms of lab developed tests and modified tests, but it is a bit premature to start taking tests down unless you have a really good alternative that you think you'd like to bring up regardless, because grandfathering is something that could go into the LDT rule. So at this point,
Exactly.
probably the best call to action is advocacy on both of these important issues we just covered today.
That's right. And finding trusted sources of information, particularly
Yes.
if and when the FDA final rule comes out, going to CAP, professional societies, because these are technical documents. And so they're going to be, you know, have to really understand them before we react. And then, of course, we'll do our part too in terms of trying to help make some clarity if this does come to pass. So.
Yep. Sounds good, Bill. Lots and lots of things to talk about.
Exactly. And I didn't even make a Hattie and Gretzky joke about Black Cat because they liked your cats. So, for the most
Yeah,
part.
Yes, we should say for the listeners that your two adorable little dogs have met my adorable little cats that were not maybe so thrilled to meet your little dogs, but it worked out okay. There were no
They all
giant
got
fights,
along.
and it
No
was a
giant
good thing.
fights. Yes, they all got along, just like us.
That's right. All right. Well, Bill, always good talking to you, and I'll look forward to next week.
Me as well.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Answers from the Lab. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and don't forget to tune in every Thursday and every other Tuesday.